are faithless when you keep appealing to human means to bring about spiritual results.
Dr. Tony Evans lifts some lessons from the life of Sarah, who doubted God's promise of a pregnancy.
He will let you stay barren until faith rises. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans takes a look at why the Lord's plans aren't limited by our perceptions and why God's will must be carried out God's way. Let's join him.
Today, I want to talk from the life of one of the great women of the Bible. Her name is Sarah. And she gives us, I think, some very strident principles for our lives today. We're introduced to her in Genesis chapter 11 with a phrase. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, it says, Sarai was barren. She had no child. But she had a lot going for her. She was married to a very successful man named Abram. The thing that caused Sarai to stand out was her beauty. The Bible declares that she was unusually beautiful. So Sarah had a lot going for her, but there was one major missing element in her life. It says she was barren. She had no child. For a Jewish woman not to have a child was almost a curse. With all the other great things about her life, her inability to conceive life, incubate life, and deliver new life was not there. Her capacity for bearing life was missing. Don't lose track of the fact she's 65, because between chapters 12 and 21, I'm getting ready to cover 25 years. So we're getting ready to cover 25 years as we move through here. She comes to her husband who's 10 years older than her, and he says in chapter 12, verse 2, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, verse 2, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing, and I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and you all, the families of the earth, will be blessed. God pronounces a blessing on Abraham. He says, through you, a blessing is going to come to the whole world, and I'm making a promise to you that I'm going to do something special in your life. And what I'm going to do is I am going to give you a son. Now, he's 75 years old. His wife has never gotten pregnant. She's 65 years old. He says, but in the middle of your barrenness, I am going to give you life. Now, that's crazy because he's 75 and Sarah is 65. So it's too late to expect life because I've been lifeless for so long. Even though God says this, Sarah decides that evidently God does not understand biology. You've been barren all your life. You're 65 years old. Babies you do not have. So she says, let me help God out. Abraham, we have a maid. She can get pregnant. So probably what God means is you go into Hagar and you impregnate her, and that will be the child, because I can't have no baby. I'm too old to get pregnant. So in chapter 16, after having lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah, verse 3, took Hagar the Egyptian her maid and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. Too many people in the kitchen. She used a human solution to bring about a supernatural promise. One of the reasons why many of us are not experiencing the promises of God, and by the way, there are over 8,000 of them in the Bible. There are over 8,000 promises of God in the Bible. But the reason why so many of us seem to not realize the promises of God is we resort to human solutions to help out G-O-D. To help God out, because obviously God is not living in the real world. So this creates chaos in the house. So God has to come back to Abraham another time and to explain to him, Abraham, that's not how this is going to work. Chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. In the Bible, naming was more than just ascribing nomenclature. Naming had to do with creating a new identity. You name something because you wanted to create a new identity. The word Sarah means princess or noble woman. In other words, I'm going to make Sarah this noble princess, and she is going to, verse 16, be blessed. I'm going to give you a son by her, then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. In other words, girl is going to be living large, because I'm going to do something special with her. And you know what he's giving Sarah? Her destiny. Now, it doesn't look like that's a possible destiny because she can't get pregnant. But he says, I'm going to give her a destiny. I'm telling you that because I don't care how barren you are right now, God has a destiny for you because you have a name. In fact, you belong to the name above all names. There is a destiny. You say, well, how do I know if I've been barren without life for an extended period of time that I still have a destiny? Simple, you're still here. You still here. And that only means God is not finished with you yet. There is a destiny. This princess who acted a fool a couple chapters back by going to the flesh to try to help her realize a promise in the spirit still has a destiny. And I'm going to make her name great. Well, Abraham hears this, verse 17. Stay with me now. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Abraham says, God, you are confused. In case you stop counting, I'm 100. Sarah couldn't get pregnant when she was 65. This is 25 years later. She is now 90 years old. If girlfriend can't have a baby at 65 and never got pregnant in all of her adult years, as long as we've been married, and she is now 90 years old, why in the world would you think, God, that that's a possibility now? Evidently, you really mean Ishmael. God says, no. Verse 19, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. What this means is that if God still wants you to have, stay with me now, the promise, but you are stuck on the facts, he's got to create scenarios to move you from the facts to getting you to adopt the promise. God will always, or not always, but much of the time, and probably most of the time, delay your receiving of the promise until you're no longer tied to the facts. It was a 25-year gap because she allowed the flesh to control the promise because she was locked into the facts. It took Israel, you know, when Israel left Egypt and was on their way to the promised land, that's like an 11-day trip. It took them 40 years. It took them 40 years to make an 11-day trip. And the reason it took them 40 years is because they were locked into unbelief. In spite of the scenarios God took them through to teach them, I can do this. I opened up the Red Sea. That should be enough. Then I brought manna from on high, water out the rock, quail I rained down. I done all this stuff, and you still in unbelief? All that did was delay the promise. So the question is, how long do you want to delay God coming through for you because you're tied into the facts? And you always hear it with Christians when they say, let's be practical. Let's be practical. In other words, these are the facts. Now, you never dismiss the facts. The facts are the facts. But you never let the facts override the promise. Because God is greater than the facts. He's greater than the specific things that you and I look at. He says, I am going to make her great. But right now, she's laughing. Hardy, hardy, har, har, har. You got to be joking, God. You have to be joking. And one of the reasons that we do not see God more is we're too tied to the facts. Don't ignore the facts, but you can't be locked into them, because if you're locked into the facts, you're locked into the natural. Only faith can move you to the supernatural. So what she did was she promoted unrighteousness in order to help God out. Her motivation was great. Her action was wrong. And that creates extended time, delay in realizing the promises of God.
Dr. Evans will talk about how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah and help us discover some applications for our own lives when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, if the facts of your life make it seem like your best option is to give up, you'll want to get a copy of Tony's book, Your Comeback. Whether it's a financial setback, a breakup, or a career that's gone off course, you can find solid ground in challenging times by drawing inspiration from some of the most remarkable comeback stories in history. Your Comeback is the perfect follow-up book to today's lesson. And for a limited time, we're bundling it in an exclusive package that includes all 8 full-length audio messages, a teaching DVD, and a Bible study guide from Dr. Evans' current sermon collection called It's Not Too Late. And the best part? This entire package is our gift to you in thanks for your generous contribution to help keep these programs coming your way each day. Head on over to TonyEvans.org, make a donation, and request your personal copy of this special resource bundle. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or by phone any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. One of our friendly team members is ready to assist with your resource request when you give them a call. That number again is 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
Does the rising price of eggs make you want to crack? At the Tony Evans Training Center, we hear you. That's why we're lowering our subscription fee. Christopher, a TETC user, says, "This is an answer to prayer. This ministry has made a vital impact on my walk. It may not sound like a lot, but with a large family, every dollar counts. We want to bless your journey. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to subscribe today and explore the kingdom of God."
Many of us are holding back the promises of God because we are believing the facts alone. The facts are real. The facts are practical. But the facts are not the promise. And there are 8,000 promises in the Bible. So God has to take us through differing scenarios, trial after trial, difficulty after difficulty, and God will wait as long as it takes for faith to give life. He will let you stay barren, lifeless, until faith rises. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. What faithlessness will do, and you, here's how you know you are faithless: when you are flesh full. You are faithless when you keep appealing to human means to bring about spiritual results. That means you have no faith. So then the facts have to solve your problem. But of course, there's nothing supernatural to give you the life you're looking for, the abundant life, the spiritual pregnancy that God wants to give you in your impossible situation. See, God is asking this question of everybody in the room: is there anything too difficult for me? Because everybody in this room at one time or another are going to face facts that make it look like God is crazy. Going to make it look like God does not know what he's doing. The facts are too crazy for me to ever think that this thing could be different. Okay, I'm getting to the sermon now. Chapter 21. Because now we just swept through 25 years. Then, somebody say then. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Then, whenever you see then, you got to ask, when? After he opened and shut the wombs in Abimelech, after he did his pregnancy thing, after he pointed out to Sarah, I control whose wombs are open and whose wombs are closed and when they open and when they close. Then, after he had made his point to Sarah, she conceived and bore a son, verse 2, to Abraham, I like this, in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. We've been reading about doubt. We've been reading about flesh. We've been reading about human attempts that didn't work. And then God having to do things to engage faith in them so that he would be free to move. And the New Testament now picks up on that to teach us some very vital lessons. Turn your Bible to Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise, in this case of salvation, but the principle, the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants. The principle of God making a promise doesn't just apply to Abraham and Sarah. He says it applies to all their children, all the descendants. So you and I get in on this principle. Not only to those who are of the law, no, not just the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith in Abraham, who is the father of us all. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Abraham is your daddy, so this principle applies to you. He says in verse 18, it's going to get gooder. He says in verse 18, in hope against hope, having hope when there was no hope. Are you in a hopeless situation now? You see no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel. It says Abraham hoped against hope. He believed. When did he believe? He believed after God showed him his power so that he might become a father of many nations. That's a big dream. That's a big vision. That's a big plan that he was going to use Abraham for in his glory. According to that which he had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now watch this. Without becoming weak in faith. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God. So one hand he's thinking about, okay, I'm 100 years old, about it. But God said, yeah, but I'm 100 years old. And everybody, yeah, but God said, but yeah, I'm 100 years old, but God said. So he's thinking about the situation, but then he's thinking about the promise. And it says, yet with respect to the promise, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Now, wait a minute now. There's a question on the floor. If I'm thinking about my situation over here and it doesn't make sense, but then I think about the promise of God, and how do I make my faith grow when I'm contemplating my problem over here? He tells you at the end of verse 20, he said, giving glory to God. He said, I thought about my problem. problem. Then I thought about his promise. Then I thought about my problem. Then I thought about his promise. And I'm getting a headache. I thought about my problem. Then I thought about his promise. And what took me over the hump is that when I thought about my problem, I gave glory to God, which took me to his promise. And his promise outgrew my problem when I got my praise on in spite of the dilemma that I faced. So it says, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. When he gave God glory, the promise overrode the problem. Now watch this. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah conceived. Genesis 21 says, then God kept his word and his promise to Sarah, and she conceived. Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, Sarah conceived and became the mother of many nations. Now, the problem is she didn't conceive till she's 90 years old. So the natural question is, if I'm 90 years old and have a baby, how much time am I going to get to spend with it? If I'm 90 years old and getting pregnant, it's nice. I got 9 months of pregnancy. That's all nice. But I'm so old, I may not get to enjoy my baby. I'm 40 years old. I ain't married yet. I may not get to enjoy my husband. I'm this age and my career hasn't flourished yet. I may not get to enjoy my career. It's taking too long, God, for you to do what you're going to do. But the Bible says, somebody say the Bible says. The Bible says that Sarah died when she was 127 years old. Now, let me tell you why that's important to know. Sarah is the only woman in the Bible whose age is given at her death date. There is no other woman in the Bible who has her age written out at the point of her death. That's done for men, but it's done for no other woman but Sarah. Why? Because God wants you to know that even though it may look like it's taken a long time for him to come through with his promise, when he comes through, he's going to give you enough time to enjoy it. If you are 127 years old and you have a baby at 90, that means you get to enjoy that baby for 37 years. So for 37 years, she got to enjoy what it took a long time for her to have. But it only took that long because she went to the flesh rather than believing the promise of the word of God. It makes me remember Caleb. Caleb was 40 years old, but other folk messed him up. Other folks' unbelief left him hanging out there without being able to go into the promised land. 40 years later, they go into the promised land. Caleb says to Joshua, give me that mountain which the Lord promised me. He says, and just so you know, Joshua, even though it's got a 40-year delay in me getting a promise, I'm as strong now as when I was at 40. So even if other folk and their unbelief is messing you up, it won't control what God has for you and the time he gives you to enjoy his plan for your life. By leaving the flesh and applying to the spirit and believing God's promises more than the facts.
Dr. Tony Evans with some encouraging lessons from the life of Sarah. Now, to access today's lesson in full, you can request a copy of Sarah, the Doubter God Used. Better yet, get it as a part of Dr. Evans' current 8-lesson audio series, It's Not Too Late. It's a powerful look at why nobody, including you, is too far gone for God to use. And if you're looking to lead your small group or Bible study on this subject, you'll want to get a copy of that great follow-up book I mentioned earlier called Your Comeback. For a limited time, we're packaging both of these resources together along with a DVD and Bible study guide, and they can all be yours with our thanks in return for your contribution toward keeping Tony's ministry coming here to this broadcast outlet. You can make your gift online and get information on these and all our other resources when you visit TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where one of our friendly team members is ready to help you day and night. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, even when we're fighting God, God can be using us. Dr. Evans will show us how and why God does that as he uncovers some important lessons from the life of Jonah. I hope you'll join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.